Adventures of Words, where we explore storytelling in all its forms. It's just me, Rob, this week, as unfortunately Kate's not been particularly well. She's sort of gone on valiantly as a trooper, but this weekend we thought, instead of having no podcast at all, it would just be me and we'd have a little bit of a chat. So I'm recording this on Sunday, and it's been a fairly busy weekend, lots of things going on bookish related. The first one is the Young Adult Literature Convention, which is taking place at the London Film and Comic Con. This is in Olympia in London. So we've attended, and it's divided up into the Young Adult Literature Convention, or YALC, as you'll probably see it mentioned. That's on the top floor of Olympia Hall, I think it is, Olympia Showcase, Show Space. Anyway, lots of authors are there. There's talks going on. There's a Waterstones. You can go and get your books signed. There are workshops. And beneath that is the main Comic-Con hall itself. So I thought what I'd talk to you about is my long-standing relationship, which I've had with sort of superheroes and comics. Now, some of you might be rolling your eyes, being a bit fed up with this, because everywhere you look now, there's a superhero film coming out. Mostly it's Marvel, but for me, it goes back quite a long way. So one of my earlier memories is the Superman film. This is with Christopher Reeve. And I used to dress up when I was about 4 as Superman. I'm not sure who did it, but someone knitted for me a red cape so I could dress up as Superman. And I remember about 10 years later finding it again, and it was about the size of a tea towel. So this is sort of how small I actually was wearing this. And I was always just fascinated by Superman. The first two Superman films I always thought were absolutely fantastic. I think I must have seen them on television because I was born in 1982, so I was a little bit late seeing those. But mostly it was what I saw on TV. When it came to actually reading about comics and superheroes and things like that, it wasn't until I bought my first comic I must have been about 10, 11 or 12 on a trip to Frinton, which is a seaside sort of town. And I went into a newsagent's and I remember seeing these two Superman comics, and I picked them up, and I'd never really seen them before. I'd read comics, sort of the British ones, like the Beano or the Dandy, but these were sort of very different. Obviously the artwork's very different when you pick up a comic, and I bought these two, and they were parts 2 and 3 out of a 4-part story. So I didn't know what came before. I had no idea what came afterwards. There were these sort of highly stylized drawings. There were these adverts for all these American companies and goods that I had never heard of. I couldn't buy any of the stuff like that. And I had no idea what happened in part one, so I got to imagine what happened there. I had no idea how this 4-part story was going to end, because Frinton wasn't somewhere where I went every week. It was a sort of a special trip to the seaside. As far as I'm aware, where we lived in Colchester, there was no comic shop. And I don't think I actually stepped foot into a comic shop. This was about 15 years old. Anyway, that was sort of the first comics that I read. And I remember I must have devoured these because that's all I had, basically. There were no real sort of collections, I don't think, in the local library. And I remember just going over it, sort of like the way it was drawn, the way the words match the pictures, the way that there's a little mini cliffhanger on the bottom right-hand corner of each page that encourages you to turn over. You had these sort of letters columns at the back where people were talking about, oh, I really like this issue of such and such, of Superman. And obviously, I had no idea what these were either. So that I was aware of this, that it was part of this long continuing thing. I think it was Action Comics, which is the one that Superman first appeared in. So this was like Action Comics 600 and something. So it was this long, long, long sort of legacy before. Eventually what happened was I managed to find that you could buy comics on mail order, and I bought an enormous bulk of them, about 100 of them. They're all quite cheap, around these two issues. So basically these two issues is what started me reading comics. So I wrote down the numbers and then wrote around and then read around and bought around these books. And I remember just when they arrived, going out and sorting them all into order. And I have these in cardboard boxes, and I do still read comics, but I have to read them digitally because I've got no room to actually store these things, which is a shame. So I do miss the the comic form in itself. So anyway, I've had a long standing sort of love with comics. I've always been a bit of a DC boy. So that's Batman and Superman mostly. I do like these Marvel comics films, but I just don't have the affection that I do for Superman and Batman. I like Iron Man. I think Robert Downey Jr. is good. Spider-Man, well, he's had many people playing him recently, but I just don't have this sort of connection with them. So, over the last few days, Kate's sort of struggled on not being particularly well. She's been going to Yelk, and I've been going sort of into the main halls downstairs and looking at this, all the superhero and comic book stuff and things that there are. And it now spans film and TV and all this sort of stuff. And this sort of sea of merchandise. And it's been fun. It's been sort of fun just wandering around. I've gone in with no real idea of what I want to buy or anything. So there's just endless sort of t-shirts and toys and mugs. Although Kate won't let me buy any more mugs because apparently we've got too many. Sort of sea of merchandise of what's now become popular culture. It's very busy when it's down there, and it's fun. There's lots of people dressing up. I dressed up, Kate and I dressed up. We went as Lois and Clark. So admittedly, my costume was just a Superman t-shirt underneath a white shirt. And I wore some glasses. I think these would be 3D glasses that we'd punched out the lenses for. Kate went as Lois Lane, and we made a little press badge. There are people with incredibly elaborate costumes. And I think it's really fun. You know, there's something slightly charming about a homemade costume that people have spent a lot of time making, but it's their favorite character and they want to dress up and play. I mean, we used to do this as kids, and now you get to do it in a nice, safe, happy place. Everyone's sort of enjoying themselves. You never quite know what you're going to see when you turn every corner. And it's just been really good fun. I haven't bought anything yet, and I'm probably not going to, because I remember last time I went a bit mad. But it's just fun just seeing sort of a lot of stuff from my childhood has come back. I mean, if you listen to Literally Unplanned, Simon and I talked about Pokemon. We just had a new Star Wars film. So there's all this sort of stuff there. And it's been just fun. I mean, it's tiring. And it's also very big. The Olympia exhibition hall is huge. But it kind of got me thinking about this sort of like, I do enjoy looking back at stuff that I've grown up with. Sometimes there's this fear when you go back and watch a film that you watched as a kid that it hasn't sort of stood the test of time. But it's been a lot of fun. And at the same time as that, last night, we got in at 3 a.m. because we were at the Harry Potter book launch. It was my first midnight book launch for anything, but I'd never done a Harry Potter one, which I know people have done. And this was for the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child parts 1 and 2 script. Some people are a bit funny saying, oh, it's not a new Harry Potter book because it's not a novel, but it's a story with Harry Potter in, and it's been collected and printed on pages and bound into a book. So I'm pretty sure you can call it a book. So we went along to Waterstones Piccadilly, which, if you don't know, it's where I used to work. It's also Europe's largest bookshop still, I think. I think you'd measure it on the mileage of the shelves is how they decide what's the biggest bookshop. But it's 5 stories. Oh, and a ground floor, and a lower ground floor as well. And the whole night from 10 p.m. till midnight was devoted entirely to Harry Potter. So I have no idea how many people were there. I'd say it was well into the hundreds, 500, 600, 700. And there were Harry Potter props from the films, which Warner Brothers had loaned them. So there was Hagrid's bike, there was costumes, there was loads of props like time turners. They also had a photo booth where we could sort of dress up with Harry Potter props, which Kate and I messed around in. I think if you look on her Instagram, you'll be able to see that. There were the entire floor was almost half of it was devoted to people playing Quidditch, actual Quidditch. I'm not 100% on the rules of Quidditch, especially when you're not actually on a broom, but there were the hoops and they were throwing them around. It's a bit like lacrosse, I suppose. There was a screening of the Deathly Hallows, the last film, and face painting, although I avoided that because I'm probably horribly allergic to it. There were many, many bars. So we had alcoholic butterbeer, which tasted pretty similar to what we had at the Warner Brothers Studio Tour in London, although it's got no alcohol in. It's really nice. I mean, I like butterbeer. I really like the taste of it. If Warner Brothers are listening, if you put that in a bottle and sell that normally, I will take you up on that. And there's a sweet shop. They sort of recreated a bit of Diagon Alley with, there's a butch shop, a wand shop. There was like an orchestra playing the theme tune from the films. So it was really good fun. They'd really done a good job of it. Everyone was dressing up. I was wearing my Slytherin tie, had my wand, and it was from about 11:30 that then we all queued up to get our hands on the book, and it all happened in a bit of a blur. There was a bit of a countdown to midnight. There were whisperings that people were hoping that J.K. Rowling was going to be there because she was only round the corner almost, because it was also the premiere of the play. So I'll get to that in a moment, but midnight came and we all got our copies of the book. They're all specially stamped to say that we appeared at the midnight. We got them at the midnight event. And there were other ones going on as well, foils and things like that. And it was really fun. And it was also fun, sort of going back to the superhero part of this, it was really fun just sort of looking around at the people who were there. They were all my age, or perhaps a bit younger, sort of like late 20s, early 30s. Now, this could just be it was a midnight event and the kids, you know, the parents of the kids didn't want to take them. And there were some kids who were there, and the kids had gone out full out in the robes and the wands and everything. I think the adult robes are a bit more expensive, but it was fun. And it was sort of like our generation who's grown up with Harry Potter were all there, and this was our sort of little moment. We're probably not going to get something like that ever again, but it was good. And it was also nice to see the little kids there. I'm assuming that their parents are the same age and that this is sort of a thing that's now being passed on to the kids. And it was the same when we went to see the Cursed Child play. So we've seen the Cursed Child play, and now we've got the book. If you can, I would recommend seeing the play first. Obviously, it's incredibly hard to get tickets for, and the moment it's only in London. But if you've got the bit of, you know, self-will, if you can hold on and watch the play first and then read the script, I would recommend it that way around, because going in not knowing what to expect other than the few bits and snippets that have sort of been drip fed out in the, you know, online and the press, I would do it that way. But if you can't get tickets till next year, because I think they're selling through now till December 2017, then go ahead, read the book. I'm not read it yet, so I'm not quite sure how the script translates, but it's absolutely fantastic. It really genuinely is. I think that's the genuine consensus, is that Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, it's a worthy part of the sort of Harry Potter what is now canon. It really does feel like a proper J.K. Rowling authorized Harry Potter story that just happens to be now 19 years later. So it's been a busy weekend, and it's been a lot of fun, a sort of very much a nostalgic weekend, looking back and sort of parts of, you know, my childhood that I've kept on. Still enjoy. When it comes to something like comics, DC Comics have just started this new thing called Rebirth, so you can all join. It's an easy place to join in, so I've started buying some more comics on my iPad. I'm looking forward to enjoying getting back into sort of Harry Potter. It has made me want to go back and read them, or certainly I've only read them the once from when we were originally when they originally came out. It wasn't until I saw The Prisoner of Azkaban at the cinema that I actually thought, okay, I'll give these books a try. And from then on, I was in. But I also then went and bought them when they were about £5 at the supermarket, because they used to ridiculously lower the price. But there we are. So it's been I just wanted to have a quick chat, what we've been up to. Haven't really done one of these podcasts on my own before, so forgive me if I am rambling. Kate and Darren will be back next week if you subscribe to all the feeds, because they're going to do a fully in-depth roundup of everything that happened at Yalc, all the authors, all the panels. Kate was getting to enjoy it as a punter. Darren, who now works in publishing, was actually technically working, but he got to see some of the sites and some of the fun. So I'll tell you about the workshop, and there was, you know, to bring this all round, there was a nice big Harry Potter party at the end. So that's it for this week. Apologies, but Kate's been unwell, but I definitely wanted to have a chat and let you know what we've been up to, so you've got something to listen to. Darren and Kate will be back with the Young Adult Podcast next week, and then Kate and I will be back in a fortnight. We've got the Man Booker long list to talk to you about. The 13 books that make up the Booker dozen have all been revealed. So if you want to go away and have a look at that, we'll be running that through and also giving us our initial thoughts. We'll probably do what we did last time, which is do the old Kindle test, which is we download the first couple of chapters, whatever the Kindle chapters are, of each Man Booker long listed book, and we then give our opinions on that. So hopefully we'll get to that soon. We've both got lots of reading though to do with work, because obviously now, in case you didn't know, I now work in publishing and Kate's been working in publishing for, well, over a year. So we shall see. So if you'd like to get in touch, if you've attended one of the Harry Potter launches or you've read the book, send us an email, contact@adventureswithwords.com. Send us a tweet @WordAdventures. We're also on Facebook and on Instagram. Kate and I are both on Litzy. You can follow me during the week @RobChilver on Twitter, Instagram, Litzy, and on Snapchat. And if you want to follow Kate, she is magic_kitten on those as well. She doesn't really use Snapchat as much, but I think she should. So that's all for this week, and I'll be back with Kate in a fortnight.